This morning's scripture reading is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 to 33. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Repent at my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but they will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
It's cute if it's not your child. I've always liked this cartoon. I don't know if you can read it or not. Most of you in here will remember Dennis the Menace growing up. Dennis says in this, if you can't read it, if you're raising me right, how come I get into so much trouble? It kind of reflects the attitude of society today, doesn't it? It's always someone else's fault. According to Proverbs, discipline and training are the means of driving folly out of a child's heart. And when a child does not respond to discipline, or when the parents fail to apply discipline, that folly not only remains to the harm of the child and the embarrassment sometimes of the parents, but it begins to negatively shape his or her character. Glenn Pemberton, in his article, It's a Fool's Life, The Deformation of Character in Proverbs, outlines three steps that separate stage one of periodic foolish behavior from stage two, which is called folly becomes sport. And the first step in the descent to stage two is the failure to respond to discipline. And as most of you know, children will decide their own path in life. And of course, you as a parent or grandparent will have significant influence on them, but ultimately they will choose how they're going to live their lives and what direction they're going to go. Wise children will listen to instruction or correction and respond. Fools will despise parental instruction. Proverbs 15, verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction. And not only will they despise instruction, but they may even turn violent. Proverbs 19, 26, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. And one commentator wrote that parents who rear an undisciplined child are kindling the fires of their own private hell. Some children do become violent, and parents are sometimes the victims of their violence. You know, there's a TV series currently appearing on NBC about the true story of Lyle and Eric Menendez, who murdered their parents in their Beverly Hills home back in 1989. You know, when children reach a point where you become somewhat fearful of what they might do, and that's when you want to consider professional intervention. We live in a society, you know, with a lot of blended families, which can make the application of discipline and training even more challenging for parents. When my wife Kim worked for Agape Child and Family Services back in the early 90s in Memphis, the Department of Children's Services in Tennessee did not permit foster parents to spank children. And the reason they wouldn't allow that is because most of the children who ended up in foster care had been physically abused. And so, you know, it makes sense. But those poor kids that ended up in foster care desperately needed discipline and training. And so the foster parents had to get extremely creative in the way they disciplined their foster children. Now, according to this article that Pemberton wrote, the natural inclination of children is foolishness that often results in disobedience and rebellion. That doesn't make a child a fool, as we mentioned last week, but when a child deliberately ignores parental discipline, they are taking a giant step toward becoming a fool. Now, that's step one. Step two on the descent to stage two is described by Proverbs 26:11. Like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. So step one was the failure to respond to discipline. Step two is the repeating of foolish behavior. Larry Franzak, I hope nobody knows that name, he sat beside me in first grade. Okay, and when the teacher would give us an assignment, usually she would take half the room, she would give half of us students an assignment, and then the other half she would work with them and teach them in some way. And when she would give us an assignment, Larry sat right next to me, kind of where Jade's sitting, and she would say, okay, now it's time to begin. And Larry would just start whispering to me. And he would whisper to me and whisper to me. And I'm trying to do this assignment. And he's just whispering to me. And, you know, I didn't want to be rude, and I would kind of look over every once in a while, but I had this assignment to do. And so he repeated that every time we had an assignment. He would repeat that. And when it was time to hand our papers in, all Larry had on his paper was his name. That was it. Every single time. And I don't know what became of Larry. I do know he didn't graduate with our class, because I specifically looked it up in my yearbook and he was not there. My guess is he was probably held back and graduated later, but I don't really know. And how many times have you said to your children, how many times do I have to tell you? Why do we ask that? Because they repeated the behavior for which we had corrected them several times. And sometimes when the punishment doesn't fit the crime, the child is not deterred from stopping the behavior. And in some cases, however, even though the punishment does fit the crime, the child chooses to repeat the behavior anyway. Foolishness and disobedience are choices. When correct instruction or discipline is applied and it's ignored, the child is making a conscious choice to rebel. And even if a child repeats his folly, of course, as I mentioned, it doesn't mean he's become a fool. However, he is on the path to becoming a fool. So step one was ignoring correction. Step two is the repetition of folly. Step three, on the descent to stage two of character deformation, is described by Proverbs 15:21a. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense. It's very sad when a child rejoices more in foolishness than in wisdom or doing the right thing, especially when it comes to older children. And what happens at this point is that the child repeats his or her folly, and folly actually becomes desirable to that child. So this third step is critical, because when foolishness becomes desirable, it becomes a game to them. You know, it becomes fun. And they have crossed over a line for which there may be no going back. And that's why correction and training are so important and so critical at the early stages of childhood. You know, if there's no consequence to their folly, their foolish behavior, no adequate correction offered, then there is no deterrent to their repeating it. You think about how a person becomes an alcoholic. You know, one is not born an alcoholic. Now, I know there are those who would argue that some people are more prone to addictive behavior than others. And I'm really not in a position to argue one way or another about that. You know, we all have weaknesses. However, I do know that a person makes a conscious choice to consume an alcoholic drink. And usually no one likes the first drink. Now, some people dislike it less than others, but as subsequent choices are made to consume more, one begins to develop a taste for alcohol and begins to enjoy the feeling one experiences from it, at least to a certain degree, which can lead, as you know, to drinking more and more often, which can turn into a habit, and habits can, of course, turn into an addiction. And so similarly, no one is born a fool. Yes, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. However, fools are formed as a result of decisions made on a daily basis that become habits which form their character. And if nothing is done to curb the behavior, it can lead to stage two of character deformation, where folly becomes sport. It becomes fun. So if your child continually engages in foolish behavior and ignores your attempts at correction, he or she may have regressed to stage two. Another story, when Kim was working for Agape in Memphis, she placed a child in foster care with a single woman. You know, it's hard to find foster parents. That's quite a challenge. And foster parents are like gold in our society. And so she placed a child in foster care with a single woman who was a member of our church in Memphis. And this child had been sexually abused as a very young child, as was her siblings. And she was removed from the home, as was her siblings. And she was placed in foster care with this single woman and was eventually adopted by this single woman. And this child was given all the advantages you can imagine. She was loved, given a good home. She attended good schools. She was disciplined. She was trained. She was exposed basically to a normal life. Her adopted grandparents loved her, cared for her. You know, this child went to church three times a week with her adopted mother. She actually was friends with our daughter for a while we lived in Memphis until we moved away. When this child became a teen, she began to get into trouble. And she would sneak out of the house at night. And this mom would actually get phone calls from the police department saying, "Hey, we have your daughter down here. Would you please come and take her home?" And so this mom realized she had a problem. And so she sought professional help. And she ended up placing her at a camp for troubled teens. And this girl escaped on one occasion even from the camp. And when the child turned 18, Tennessee law says, and maybe Ohio law is probably the same way, you're an adult now. You're on your own. You can go your own way. And this child did. She left home and went somewhere. Her mother didn't know where she went, what she was doing. Her mother didn't hear from her for years at a time. Once in a while, she'd get this call from her, kind of a desperate call, but she never knew where she was. She suspected she was living as a prostitute somewhere in Alabama, but she didn't know. But a couple of years ago, this mom began taking care of her daughter's child, and actually adopted her daughter's child. But her daughter doesn't care for the child. The daughter doesn't live with her. She still lives somewhere else. You know, so in this situation, the adoptive mother did everything right. You know, but the abuse that occurred in this child's life prior to being removed from her biological parents was so devastating that she couldn't overcome it. And I only use this illustration to make the point that this is why parental love and nurturing and discipline are so important at a young age. It should be noted, you know, that some children, regardless of your attempts to correct, or how well they were loved and nurtured in the beginning, will choose folly. But it doesn't mean one is an incompetent parent. It means the child chose a different path, which is sad. So as a parent, or as a grandparent functioning as a parent, you need to stay involved in your child or grandchild's life. Now, I know that probably sounds like an obvious statement, but I want to make it. You need to be aware of how they spend their time. This world, you and I know, is so evil. It's an evil world. You know, what kind of video games do your children play? Do you know? You know, what kind of movie? It's so tempting to just give them a phone or an iPad and they'll be quiet, you know, and you can do what you need to do. But I warn you about that. What kind of movies are they watching on YouTube? You know, do you permit a child who you know has folly bound up in his or her heart to stay home alone or without much supervision? Do you know anything about your child's friends or the parents of your child's friends? Do you know your child care provider well? Your eyes need to be wide open at all times. Never assume anything. Know as much as you possibly can. So what separates stage one of periodic foolish action from stage two, where folly becomes sport? According to Pemberton, these three steps. Number one, failing to respond to discipline. Number two, repeating foolish behavior. And number three, a desire for foolish behavior. So if you think your child or if your grandchild, if you're parenting that grandchild, has regressed to stage two, where folly becomes sport, you may need to make some changes in the way you discipline. You may even need to seek professional help for your child or your family. Do whatever you need to do while there's still hope. And as you do everything you know to do, of course, by all means, constantly pray. Remember to pray. Pray and keep praying. Your communication card this morning, hopefully you have one, has three next steps. Memorize Proverbs 15:5. A fool spurns parents' discipline, but whoever heeds correction is prudent or shows prudence. And then read again Proverbs 1:20-33 and take the discipline challenge. If you have children, if you're a grandparent, being a parent, teach, correct, and train your child. Or grandchild, if you have one. And let God teach and train you, through His Word. You know, as we talked about last week, wisdom isn't just for the simple. Wisdom isn't just for the youth. Wisdom's also for the wise, that they might increase in learning. Otherwise, you or your child may be on the path to becoming a fool. You know, we're all guilty of foolishness at one time or another. Some of us still get a little foolish sometimes, but not all foolish actions result in significant harm to ourselves or others. There is, however, one foolish action that without question will cause more harm than any other. And that's the foolishness of rejecting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So be wise and believe in Jesus. Be wise, obey the gospel. Be wise and serve Him all the days of your life. That's the wisest decision any person can ever make. This morning, as Robin is about to lead us in this next song, it's sort of we call it an invitation song. It's an opportunity for you to respond. It's an opportunity for you to put Jesus on, to make the wisest decision of your life. And to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. If you have not been living the way you should live, if you have an addiction, whether it's alcohol, whether it's pornography, whatever it is, if you have an addiction, you're only going to overcome it with the help of Jesus Christ. So turn your life over to Him. Give it back to Him today. Repent and turn to Him, and He will forgive you and He will help you to overcome whatever problem you may have. And that now is the time to do that. As we stand and sing, you can come to the front, you can go to the back. See us afterwards. Now is the time. Let's stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord.